Sunday evening service here at Trinity Baptist Church. Please check your cell phone and beeper to make sure that they are turned off so that they'll not disturb the service. We also ask that if you are visiting with us tonight, we have small children in the service with you under the age of 3, that you might consider putting them in our nursery. The nursery is located across the drive. We do have ushers located at the back of the auditorium that will be glad to assist you and show you where the nursery is located. If you do plan on keeping small children in the service with you and they begin to make noise during the song service or the preaching service, we simply ask that you exit to the northwest side of our auditorium. You can exit through these double white doors to your far left. Turn to the left. The first door to the left leads into a room called our cry room, where you can attend to your children and you can also watch the service from that room as well. On behalf of our pastor and church staff, we welcome you to this Sunday evening service here at Trinity Baptist Church.
You're here tonight. If you would, find the hymn book and let's sing one of the great Christmas carols, Joy to the World, hymn 137. Standing, everyone, if you would, hymn 137, Joy to the World, singing Joy to the World. Singing
welcome you this afternoon or evening to our Sunday evening service, a very special service in that our choir is going to present their Christmas presentation. We really don't do cantatas around here. We don't know how to spell it, and so we haven't done one. But we're really not cantata people as much as we are program people, and the choir's really been working to put together a great presentation honoring our Lord's birth, and you will be blessed by them as they sing tonight. And then we have our friend Dr. Randy Taylor, Evangelist Randy Taylor. Brother Randy Taylor is the founder of the God Save America conferences, and He heads up Mount Salem Revival and Conference Grounds up in West Union, West Virginia. And we're glad he's down here visiting his family at Christmas time, and we always look forward to an opportunity to have him come by and preach when he's in the area. So you get to hear him tonight as well. It's good to have guests and visitors. Thank you for coming. I see some from our Spanish department up here to be a part of the Christmas program, and we always are glad to see you in our services as well. And for every visitor, God bless you for coming. Now, if you are a visitor tonight and you've not filled out a visitor's card today, would you please take a visitor's card and fill it out and have it ready to place in the offering plate in just a few moments. Our ushers are ready to give out cards to all of our guests and visitors. We just need your help so they can find you quickly and easily. So here's what we're going to ask you to do. If you're not a member of Trinity Baptist Church, would you identify yourself by simply being seated? That way you can take a card and while seated, fill it out. And then in a moment, our people will want to come by and welcome you to our services. Thank you so much for being here today. I also have the joy of telling you that we had two saved and baptized in our Spanish department this morning, and then we had three more that were baptized off of the yellow bus in our bus ministry. And that sure is a blessing, and we rejoice in God's goodness here at Trinity Baptist Church. Now then, let's everyone get our hymn book. No. That's it. Let me look. There's been a little change from our regular schedule because I ask it to be this way. At this time, we're going to ask that you be seated and be ready to be blessed as our choir presents their Christmas program.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Thank you.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
Thank you.
so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels have gone their way from into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
Thank you.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. All stand for the Hallelujah Chorus. From the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
His star shone bright to light the way.
unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.
Turn, if you would, to hymn 354, and let's sing Tell Me the Story of Jesus. We'll sing the first verse, have you shake hands and welcome guests and friends and neighbors, and the choir will continue to sing. Yes, sir?
Before you do so, let's thank our choir and ladies and gentlemen at the instruments and Brother Sam, all that had a part in making this wonderful presentation so tonight. Let's give them a big hand. Amen. Our choir adds so much to the services and to our worship, and we thank God for them. Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you.
354, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. That's what we've been trying to do tonight. Everyone singing, Tell Me the Story of Jesus.
Thank you.
and shake hands. Welcome guests to the service tonight. As the ushers come forward singing, "Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed this
Just before we receive the offering, I want to say publicly congratulations to Richard Monsivais. Richard graduated from the University of Texas at Arlington today with a business degree. And Richard, we're mighty proud of you. And I heard you've already told your family not to talk to you and tell you what to do anymore. You're a graduate. I somehow know that I don't think Daddy'd put up with that. We're proud of you, son. That's great. What a privilege it is to give to the Lord. And we're grateful that God has made it possible for us to express our faith, our love, our obedience, and our confidence in Him by giving our tithes and offerings. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, You sure are good to us. And we want to take this time to thank You for Your many blessings. But Lord, nothing could be given to us or done for us that can supersede what You did when You gave us Jesus. Thank You for loving us while we were yet sinners and dying for us. Thank You for giving us salvation that's free, that's finished, that's forever, and for anyone who'll accept Christ as Savior. And Lord, You simply ask us to love You and obey You and trust You. And bless us as we trust You by giving our tithes and our offerings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Perez. That's a blessing. Be sure after the service to stop by out in the foyer at Brother Taylor's table and check out what he has available there, some things that would be a blessing to you or your family. I hope you'll take advantage of them. It is a joy to have Brother Randy Taylor in our services tonight. Brother Taylor heads up the God Save America conferences, started when he was a teenager at the bicentennial of our country. And it's been going on and on and on, and one of the great conferences, preaching conference in America today. He also heads up a tent revival ministry that goes all over the country, setting up tents and holding weeks of old-fashioned tent revivals. And God has used him. You don't see much of that going on. A lot of cities won't even allow you to set them up. But thank God that God is using him and in that area. And many people are getting saved. And then he also heads up the Mount Salem campgrounds, youth camp and conference grounds there in West Virginia. And the summer is just full of different kinds of camps. And so he's a busy man, and we're honored that this transplanted Texan comes back home every now and then at Christmas, and we get to have him for a service. Brother Taylor, we love you. Thank God for you. And we welcome you back to Texas and to Trinity Baptist. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, preacher. Thank you for letting me come. Amen. Amen. It is a blessing to be here. The only thing is, when I get back, I don't recognize half the places I grew up and even around here. My goodness, just across the street where the losers play over there. But anyway... They were winners when I lived here. I don't know why they are not winning now. But anyway, yeah, man. Oh, the wheel to win moved away too, didn't it? But anyway, it's a blessing to be here. I just wish you could follow your pastor around, and as he warms our hearts around the country when we hear him preach and things, it's a blessing. And I thank God for him. And I would be remiss not to say that I'll be praying for Brother Lassiter on Wednesday night, and I'm excited about what the potential is for your church in tomorrow's future. What a blessing to have a man like Brother Lassiter here in your midst, and what a great presentation tonight. I enjoyed it. My gracious, I tell you, folks are talented, you're blessed, your church is overwhelmed with just tremendous talent. I enjoyed the instrumentalists tonight. And Brother Perez, I don't know when I've heard that song done any better than what I heard you sing it tonight. And I'm not just saying that. It thrilled our souls just to hear it the way you presented it tonight. What a blessing. It has been a whirlwind for me in the last 7 days. Sunday passed, I was in Kentucky. On Monday, I was in Washington, D.C. to preach to about 35 pastors. And then on Tuesday, I was in Hollywood, Maryland, at Patuxent Baptist Church there. And then on Wednesday, we flew in here to preach to my home church there in Mesquite, Texas, where the Lord grubbed me out there. Amen. Thank God for Brother Matthews and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then also on Thursday and Friday, we headed to Graham, Texas to perform about 3 blood sacrifices. Amen. And Saturday night was at a Christmas party. And then this morning over at the Meadowview Baptist Church. And what a blessing at First Baptist Church. No, Meadowview, Texas at First Baptist Church. But anyway, blessing to be here tonight. And it is a thrill. Thank you for letting me be here. I am home for the holidays. And I love coming home to see Mom and Dad. All the rest of this Christmas stuff can just go where it wants to go. Amen. But I do like Christmas time, and I like the reason for Christmas better than I like all the other production of Christmas. But what a blessing, what a thrill to be here, and I'm glad to be here. Then also on the back table, thank you for allowing me to bring the table. My secretary works hard to get it here. I have two books back there that might be a blessing to you. I have about seven pamphlets back there that'll be a blessing to you. And then I have several CD series. This is the latest. This is on Bible prophecy from the book of Revelation on the end time that we live in. And you might not have ever understood Gog and Magog, but I preached a sermon on it. I believe the Bible talks about three Gog and Magogs. And then, let's see here, Snow White and the Seven Candlesticks, Rapture or Revelation, that will affect everybody from Adam to you. Amen. Those two words, Rapture or Revelation. And Copycat Jesus and Why I Am a Premillennialist. You may not know why you're a premillennialist, but you need to know. Amen. You need to know. And then I have several, 23 different series on the back with three CDs in them, all of them sermons. And this one's on children and the three sermons in there. These are dramatized Bible stories. We do have a Bible camp, and there are thousands of young people that come through. And our tabernacle's full of children all the time, junior age, and we dramatize those stories. Dr. Joe Boyd used to tell us to do that so those kids won't forget those Bible stories. And one in here is called The Talking Donkey, one's called The Prodigal Pig, and one is called Pleasant Pictures. And so that might be a blessing for your children. And then also our founder and my mentor, Dr. Joe Boyd, he passed away on the opening day of our summer camp, June the 1st of this summer. And it's just like the Lord to give us a memory of our founder every opening of our year now, of every summer. And but I put together something from his birth till death, and all the way through his childhood, then through his very successful sports career, and then his marriage, and then children, and then ministry, and then all the way of 68 years of preaching. What a blessing that man has been. He has product all over the world. You might want to get that DVD and just spend a little time reminiscing about a great Texan that came right out of Texas here. And thank the Lord for Dr. Joe Boyd. And I have several of these CDs and singles back there. This one's a treasure in earthen vessels. Any four, you get the fifth one free. They're $5 a piece back there on the back table. And then my gospel track, if you'd like to have that for any donation, I would appreciate that. All right, well, what a blessing. Get your Bible, turn to the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6. And I have been eating since I got in Texas. I'm twice the man I used to be. Amen. It is with saddest heart that I must pass along the following news. Please join me in remembering the great icon of the entertainment community. Pillsbury Doughboy dies yesterday of a yeast infection of complications of repeated pokes in the belly. He was 71. Doughboy was buried in a lightly greased coffin. Dozens of celebrities turned out to pay their respects, including Mrs. Butterworth, Hungry Jack, the California Raisins, Betty Crocker, Hostess Twinkies, and Captain Crunch. The gravesite was piled high with flowers. Help me out on that one right there. Aunt Jemima delivered the eulogy and lovingly described Doughboy as a man who never knew how much he was needed. Doughboy rose quickly in the show business, but later his life was filled with turnovers. He was not considered a very smart cookie, wasted most of his dough on half-baked schemes. Despite being a little flaky at times, he still was a crusty old man, was considered a role model by many. Doughboy was survived by his wife, Play-Doh, two children, John Doe and Jane Doe, plus he had one in the oven. He is also survived by an elderly father, Pop-Tart. The funeral was held at 3:50, about 20 minutes. Well, I'll stop right there. They don't get any better there. All right. Thank you for laughing. You're very kind. Would you stand with me, please? I like to get Baptist smiling, because in about 2 or 3 minutes, you just might need that smile. Amen. When we get to preaching time. Mark chapter 6, please. Look in verse number 14. If you got an old King James Bible, say amen. If it's not, shut it. Amen. We're going to read from the Bible. Here we are, Mark 6 and 14. Thank you, Dr. Smith, for letting me come You're a wonderful, wonderful friend. Great, great man of God. One of the greatest preachers of our day. One of the greatest church builders of an entire generation. And one day, we'll thank God for a great pastor of this wonderful church, Trinity Baptist Church, by the name of Dr. Smith. Good to see you, Miss Smith, and God bless you. Mark 6 and 14, and King Herod heard of him. His name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, therefore mighty works to show forth themselves in him. Others said that it's Elias, and others said that it's a prophet. There's one of the prophets. And when Herod heard thereof, he said, it's John, whom I beheaded. He's risen from the dead. And Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold on John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. John had said unto Herod, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, observed him and heard him, did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper for his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. When the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that were set with him, and the king said unto her, or unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I'll give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I'll give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. She went forth and asked, or and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. She came in straightway and with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger or a platter the head of John the Baptist. The king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes that sat with him, he would not reject her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when the disciples heard of it, they came, took up his corpse, laid it in a tomb. Would you look this way, please? I want you to, first of all, before you do that, look in verse 21. I'll show you my text verse and lift my title from it. Verse 21, the Bible said, and when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper. All kinds of parties have started. Maybe you've been in some. This is the party season. And it'll go all the way through New Year. And my parties have changed many things. And I just want to preach on the party aspect of holidays. I want to preach a message tonight on murder at the birthday party. Just a party, right? Just a party. My, oh my, how it changed and influenced this party. Would you bow your heads, please? And let's ask God to help us. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here in this great place. Thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for what our hearts have felt tonight, our ears have heard. And I pray, dear God, you'd bless the message. Lord, in these days, America likes to do a lot of partying. And if Christians don't watch out, they'll fall prey to the evil of our day. Bless, I pray, as we warn ourselves, as we well should, about keeping ourselves clean and right. And dear God, I pray you'd help us to take a good stand in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. It started, the Bible said, on a convenient day. Oh, John the Baptist. I thank God for John the Baptist. Think of the millions and millions and millions and millions and even your family and even in your life that maybe got saved because of the testimony of old John the Baptist. But I believe he was slain to gratify the hatred of the heart of Herodias. She was a woman who could not be controlled. Absolutely out of control. John stood before a Roman emperor in his last days, a Roman governor, three tetrarchs, and two high priests. His name meant Jehovah is gracious. Many things were said about John even before he was born. Let me give you a few of these quotes from the Bible. The Bible said, many shall rejoice in his birth. Another verse, the Bible said, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Another verse, the Bible said, he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Another verse, the Bible said, many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord. Another verse, the Bible said, he shall be make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And another verse, it says, thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest. Another verse, the Bible said, thou shalt go before the face of the Lord, prepare his ways, and give knowledge of salvation to give light to them that sit in darkness. Even our Lord gave commendation of John the Baptist when he said, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Now, if you believe what Jesus said, and I think that you should and would, and if you believe that Bible that we read from tonight, and I do believe that you should and would, then you'd have to believe, my friend, that what Jesus said, and I didn't use the word great, Jesus used the word great about John. Then you'd have to believe that not only was he the greatest man of his day, but according to Jesus, he was the greatest man of all days up until that day. I think of men like Adam, Abraham, Elijah, and David, Moses, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Noah, and Enoch, and Joshua, and Caleb, and Gideon. I think of Samson. I think of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Men like Daniel and many, many others. Jesus thought of him greater than all of those men. You do believe the Bible, don't you? Our Lord said that about John. Not much was said about John, even from his childhood. But at his childhood, he probably grew up playing in the yard or down the street with his cousin, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. His childhood was mentioned once in Luke 1:80, the Bible says, where it says, and I quote, the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and was in the deserts till the day of the showing or his showing unto Israel. He was filled with the spirit from his birth, brought up with a Nazarite vow. I kind of get tickled at some of this young people today, and they balk at the standards and convictions of a youth department or the church or even their parents that put these convictions upon their family and the standards upon their family. Well, you better thank God you didn't have to grow up with a Nazarite vow. Go home and study that one out. You'll be thankful that you have the standards that you have. Amen. But God spoke to him in the quietness of the deserts. His function was that he was the Lord's forerunner. Now, most of us know what an entourage is. Most of us know that it's preceded by a fleet of motorized outriggers and of men and outriders, and they would their function was to clear the way for the distinguished one or the visitor that was to follow. In ancient days, a forerunner's name had a Hebrew name by the name of Kawass, K-A-W-A-S-S. Every dignitary, every great man in Bible days had a Kawass, a forerunner. Our Messiah, the Messiah that they sing about tonight, he also had a forerunner who filled his privileged role and did it right. His name was John the Baptist. He had a purpose, twofold, to put things in place that was not there before and to put things in order that was in disarray. John was literally to get the Hebrew nation ready for the coming of Jesus. I would say we need that kind of preaching again today. In essence, it was like digging up the flower beds, getting them ready for the flowers. He would clear the way, he would prepare the way, and then he would get out of the way. He would clear the way by getting the hearts of people right and remove those obstacles, the crooked things in the Gospels, the Bible said, that was made straight, and mountains that were leveled, and low places that were filled, and rough places made right. And then he would prepare the way. He had a message, nothing less than repentance. A lot of people didn't know how to take that kind of message, as they wouldn't know how to take it even today. And then he would get out of the way. No forerunner would want to be the obstacle of the one that he was preparing for. Nobody had a sweeping national revival like John did. He came out preaching baptism. They didn't know what to do with that kind of a message. Now, baptism won't save you. We don't get saved by the water, we get saved by the blood. Amen. And John made that very clear. He also denounced sin and prophesied of judgment and preached about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he preached that we are the lamp and he is the light. In other words, we're the instrument, but he's the power. And we're nothing without that power of the Lord God. And he preached without repentance or that plowshare breaking up the fallow ground. Then we'd be unprepared for the Lord's coming. He would preach, repent and be baptized. That was his message. He was more than a prophet. He was a champion of the Lord. He was humble. He was the one that said in John 3:30, I must decrease, but he must increase. But it was his sermon in this chapter, verse 18, that probably got his head cut off. Brings us to where we are. These were the days of the Herods. You remember Herod the Great? He was the one that was alive during our Lord's nativity. He was the one that wanted to put him to death by putting to death these firstborns of the family, of their sons. And had he got it his way, he would have put Jesus to death. But thank God, had another plan. Amen. Then he had his sons. Two of them died previous to what we're talking about here by other battles. But he had four sons before he died that he divided his kingdom up to. One was Herod Antipas. He's the man in the story in this chapter. And then there was Herod Philip, his half-brother, mentioned here by name. There were other two. If you get your Bible maps in the back of your Bible, you'll find how that these four regions were divided up. Thus the name Tetrarch. Tetrarch means quarter rule. It means one quarter rule. And so, and Herod Antipas was one of those men. His division was from the top of the Sea of Galilee all the way to the bottom of the Dead Sea. It was called Galilee. Then there was Herod Philip. Herod Philip fell on tough times, lost his kingdom. And his wife was Herodias. They had a daughter by the name of Salome. She's never mentioned in the Bible, but history records this family well. Her name was Salome. Herodias was an evil woman, somewhat like Jezebel was. And Herodias put her husband away by divorce. Stay with me now. She brings her daughter into another marriage. Herod Antipas, the half-brother of Herod Philip. Herod Antipas was married to the princess of Arabia, whose father was the king of Arabia. And he puts his wife away in divorce. So now we have once a niece and a sister-in-law, now the wife. I say that's almost too close to the front porch to me. Amen. Kind of strange, isn't it? Kind of weird. Matter of fact, it was against the law. That's why in verse 18, John the Baptist said, and by the way, you could never bribe or buy him off. Old John the Baptist would preach it gun barrel straight every time. And he preached to Herodias and to Herod, it's unlawful for thee to have your brother's wife. Herodias didn't like him. We read together that if she had her way, she would have already killed him, but she couldn't because of the law. Thus the party now. We come to the place where there was a birthday party. Herod provided himself a party, just a party. But Herod kind of thought a lot of himself. He really only had a legal, lawful name appointed to him as a tetrarch. But he gave himself another name as governor. And he liked that so well that he mentioned himself as king in the Bible. But Jesus called him that fox. You know, the Lord knows who we are. He knows what we are. And he had Herod Antipas' number. And so it was, Herod had all of his leaders around him, and there was a party. This party got out of hand. Salome, there's only one Salome in the Bible, and her name was mentioned. She was the one that was around the dead body of our Lord as they packed his body at burial. This was not her. This was Herodias' daughter. And so, somehow, we don't know why, but there was this dance that took place. I don't know what you think about dancing. Sometimes I get happy enough when people get saved, I want to kick my heels up every once in a while. Especially when it's your own family members, amen. But when dancing is full of passion and evil and seduction, God calls it sin. And he hates it. See, how do you know he hates it? Check out the sins of Sinai. At the sins of Sinai, when Moses came off the mount, he saw them drunk. He saw them naked. He saw them in idolatry. He saw them with the wrong music. And he saw them dancing. Dr. Boyd used to preach a message when Moses went to the disco. Amen. He said it was the first rock concert in the Bible, in the world. Amen. He had it right. You know what happened at that event. God hates evil passions. God hates seduction. God hates a dance that's evil. And we laugh about it, but I think it was an evil day when we let the Beatles in America. Amen. I think it was an evil day when we turned old Elvis Presley loose in America. They wouldn't show him from the waist down. He had nicknames like Elvis Pelvis and Wiggle Hips and all the rest of it. I think it was a bad day when we made Michael Jackson a god in America. He had the evil dance. And if you don't think that is evil with the music and the dancing and all the rest, check out the culture that surrounds this music today. Have you noticed our culture's changed? When I was a boy growing up, you'd be hard-pressed to walk out in the streets of Dallas or anywhere in this region and find a woman in a pair of breeches. She wouldn't even be a Christian, but you wouldn't find her in a pair of pants. Amen. I'll say amen to my own preaching. I know good preaching when I hear it, and that's good preaching. We can't take this stuff much anymore because our culture's changed. It's not sinful anymore. It's accepted now. And now you walk the streets of Dallas and Fort Worth and Arlington, you'd be hard-pressed to find a woman in a dress. That's all right. You may not like that, but the reason our culture's changed has a lot to do with the events that people put themselves in. And they're moved and changed by happenings and parties. Just a party, right? But this young girl began to dance. I call it the dance of death. For when she danced, the king offered her half of his kingdom with an oath. With an oath, he had to follow through with it. Now, he didn't have to do that. By the way, this is not the only time a king offered half of his kingdom. Check out Ahasuerus in the Bible. You remember when he offered Esther half of the kingdom? Her request saved millions of lives. This young lady wanted the head of a Baptist preacher. The greatest preacher that ever lived. How would you like to be the one to silence the lips of the greatest preacher alive? I dare say on this Sunday morning, and even this Sunday evening, there have been a lot of preachers who were spiritually crucified by the lips of those called members. And in this Christmas holiday season, we'll be without a pulpit and a congregation. we come to this party and she's dancing. He offers her half of the kingdom and she turns to her mother. Seems like an evil scheme to me. And she said, I'd like to ask my mother, Mom, what do you think I'll ask for? And he said, the head of John the Baptist. Quickly an executioner was come. And did you notice, my friend, he was sorry? I'll get to that in a minute. But he asked an executioner to come. They took his head. And at the end of the day, at the end of this party, just the party, right? Salome gets her way. Herodias gets her way. And a king gets his way. Oh, but it didn't stop there. Let me give you, I believe, the murders of the party. Are you with me tonight? Say amen. I believe the chance to ever get saved died at this party to the king. Would you look, please, in verse number 20. The Bible said Herod feared John. Do you see that? We read it together. The Bible said that he thought he was a just man. Do you see that? And a holy man. Do you see that? And he heard him gladly. Guess who was at John the Baptist preaching times? And by the way, I'm proud of John the Baptist. Everywhere he went, he drew a crowd. And great things began to happen. He was a great forerunner. Our Lord kind of followed him up about 2 years later. How good was John the Baptist? He was so good they thought he was Jesus. How good was Jesus? He was so good they thought he was John coming back from the dead. What great preaching these people heard. Guess who was in the audience? Herod was. He thought he was a holy man. He feared him. Thought he was a just man. He heard him gladly. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God was working on the heart of King Herod. I believe it. But would you look, please, in verse 26. And the king was exceeding sorry. Did you notice, my friend, that because of the people and because of their sakes, he went ahead and with sorrow did what he did. It went from being a man who feared John to a man that was sorrowful. And I believe the chance to ever be saved left at that party. Don't say no to the Lord God. If the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart even tonight, don't you say no to Him. He didn't have to speak to you twice. He's God. And by His Spirit, He impresses, He convicts. And He'll work in your life if you'll let Him. May I say also that I believe decency was murdered that night. Whatever happened to decency? Hey, these parties that'll be from now to New Year's, a lot of people will lose their decency. I mean, church members will become wine bibbers and nippers and sippers of the alcohol. You know, my wife, my lovely wife, she and I have been married now for 32 years, but you know nobody's ever come to our house and offered us or wanted to have a drink with us at our house. Nobody's ever lit up a cigarette at our house in 32 years. I travel a lot. I'm at a lot of restaurants with a lot of preachers all the time. But you know, in those events in 35 years, nobody's ever offered me a drink at the restaurant. Why is that? Well, I believe you hang your sign out high enough, amen, spiritually. Let people know how you believe. Nobody's going to offer you that kind of garbage. Amen. Now your parties are coming and your family's coming and all of the things that's going to surround all of this ceremony of holidays. Take a good stand. Be careful what you do. Make sure, my friend, that you don't lose your decency. Amen. May I say, number three, that a Baptist preacher was murdered that night. At this event that we read, John had been in the dungeon of this castle for over a year. They put him there because they couldn't take his message. He preached against adultery. He preached against putting your wife away in divorce and your husband away in divorce. Now there's a lot of that going on today. Nowadays it's easier to stay unmarried and shack up together. You get better tax brackets by the government and all the rest of it. But it's still a sin. And if John were here, he'd tell you better than I could right now. He preached it just like God told him to preach it. And Herod and Herodias put him in the prison. In a dungeon underneath the fortress. Herod liked himself so well, he built a couple of castles. These castles were huge. This one was probably in Macarius. If you would look at your Bible maps, you'd find the Dead Sea. At the northeast point of the Dead Sea was Macarius. Macarius is where he had one of his fortresses. Some believe that the walls were so wide you could take three chariots abreast all the way around this huge castle. This is where the party was. John was in prison over a year. I wonder how many of us could sing the Handel's Messiah and the Hallelujah chorus if we were in prison for over a year. I wonder how many of us could be happy at Christmas time if we had to sing praises of God in a prison. Thank God for John the Baptist. But they killed that great evangelist that night. You know, my Bible said that the office of a pastor is holy. Amen. You folks are about to embark on that office again. You're about to delve into that office again. It's holy. Like your Bible is holy. Like the tithe is holy. Check out what God did to God's people when they messed with the tithe or the Bible. We got folks today messing with the Bible. Buying up copyrights and trying to change, make corrections to the Scripture. I'd say my Bible's been pure for all these years, and God's preserved this Bible for 400 years, and He can continue to preserve it another 400 years. Amen. The Bible said that a pastor is anointed, and lift not your hand against God's anointed. Be careful. You mess with that Bible, God will mess with you. You mess with the office of a pastor, God will mess with you. Keep it holy. Keep it right. And don't silence the lips of a good preacher. Old John the Baptist, they cut his head off. I don't want to stand before God with blood from the last pastor on my hands, or blood at like wolf fangs from the last preacher. Be careful. And then I believe, my friend, that a mother murdered her daughter that night. You say, I don't see any of that in the story. Oh, but there was a murder of Herodias' daughter. If you ever get your hands on a Matthew Henry commentary, go to the same passage of Scripture. Check out the same verses and look to see what Matthew Henry's study was compiled about. And I quote his finding. Salome, while going over ice in winter, the ice broke, slipped up to her neck, and cut off her head with sharp ice. And then he gave a two-word summary. Remarkable providence. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hear me, my friend. You will reap what you sow. And she asked for the head of John the Baptist, and her head was cut off herself. Isn't that amazing how history records this family? And then I want to say, my friend, another murder took place that night. It's just a party, right? Just a party. I believe a teenage girl was destroyed that night, and I believe about several thousand people destroyed by this teenager. By the way, do you know how old Salome was when she did this dance? 16 years old. 16 years old. That's the time the devil wants to get your young people. Parents, that's the time the devil wants to destroy your children. At the age of teenage years, he wants to destroy them. All the advertisements today, they're not about people that are about 1 foot in the grave. The advertisements today have the targets on the back of your young people. Amen. Be careful. Be careful. It's just a party. Remember I told you that Herod was married to a princess who was the daughter of the king of Arabia. When all of these things took place, Galilee was in an uproar, in a turmoil. Go back and study your history and you'll find out that the king of Arabia came down and overcame the armies of Galilee and took this entire region. And about 15,000 people surrounded the area where this party was. And all of those lives were now taken from their homes and exiled and banished and destroyed. Oh, you say, just a party. It's just a few words we read in a few verses in the Bible. May I say to you tonight, your sin will not just affect yourself. Your sin will affect all of those that you come in contact with. Be careful. Be careful, my friend. It's not just a party. It's your testimony. It's your testimony. Don't you think in the land where Jesus grew up, it would have been better for Herod and his family to have honored and been a blessing to those Galileans? This area, this region of your church depends on how you live for Christ and the things you do for the Lord and the way you witness and promote the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful! Don't let the party take you out. Don't let the party destroy. And I'm done with this. May I say, my friend, I believe the evil conscience of this family destroyed this governor and his wife and this princess. Destroyed her. I deal with lives all the time. Since I've gone in the last 7 days, and just, I mean, from the planes to the traveling to the different destinations, my phone has been ringing about good families who have lost their children, some of their children married with children, thrown their marriages away. You know that thing they call a cell phone that you hold in the palm of your hand? It's destroying all kinds of lives. You don't need to lock yourself up in your bathroom, in your home, away from your husband or your wife and your children, and talk to somebody in another state or a foreign country? You say, how does that happen? Oh, you get on the internet and you're swapping numbers and hiding, buying your own cell phones and paying your own cell phone bills. Something sneaky about all of that. Evil schemes going on. Staying up all night on your internet. Whatever happened to mothers who were mothers at home and wives at home, cooking the meals and taking care of the children and making sure the house ought to be proper and neat and right. Instead of a nice home for the holidays, you're in your chat rooms. People that are in the ministry, throwing their own ministry away. People that have Bible degrees, married their mates at Bible colleges. Destroying it all. How does that happen? It's called an evil conscience. An evil conscience. At one time, this man had a good conscience about himself. All of a sudden, things got a little evil. It destroyed the entire family. That king of Arabia banished Herod and Herodias. Took him to the Lloyds of England, then later to Spain, banished them and exiled them, and they died in shame as a pauper. Oh, he thought of himself as a king at one time. Now he dies with no prestige, no prominence. Are you listening to me? Herodias' daughter is dead. And they're nothing. Listen to me. The devil will chew you up. and spit you out and leave you for nothing and with nothing. Just a party. Just a party. Be careful. It may just be that that party will be the evil day of your life. Isn't it strange it all starts on a convenient day when everything's going just right? Everything's going your way, just like you want it to happen. It's your party, right? Be careful. Shall we stand, please, and bow our heads? I just wanted to, before these parties get so far in full swing, some are already happening, divisions of your church and maybe your businesses and all of the things that we're about to embark in to even face a new year. We have an evil nation. And if the devil gets his way, he'll destroy your church. He'll destroy the families in your church. It only takes one bad apple to destroy the whole apple cart. It only takes one bad thing to tear a family up. Dear lady, dear sir, listen to me. I warn you, I beg you tonight. Get back to being a family again. Quit being this person that has this evil conscience about yourself. I know men that'll have to sit before a judge to get custody of their children because their wife just went to a foreign country. Their mama gave them up for somebody else. I know preachers in the last 60 days have come to the pulpits half drunk and had to leave their ministries. What are those churches going to do in the holidays? Be careful. It's just a party, right? I wonder how many tonight would say, Brother Taylor, while heads are bowed, nobody looking. I wonder how many tonight would say, Brother Taylor, God spoke to my heart. I want a good conscience. I don't want to be sorry for what I do. I want to thank God for what He's allowed me to do. You'll say, pray for me. I want to have a good testimony and take a good stand. I'm not saying be a Pharisee and a hypocrite and somebody that points out the sins of everybody else. You get around your family, you have a good testimony for the Lord Jesus. Have a good spirit about yourself. But how many would say, Brother Taylor, I want God to help me to have a good testimony during these party days? Can I see your hands? Hold them up high.